The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, warnings from an oil boss over Scottish independence, safety improvements hailed in new offshore weather forecasting service, and debates over the effects of energy wages on Aberdeen. But first, a new energy company was formed this week. Costain Upstream's come about following the acquisition by the Costain Group of Clark Maxwell in 2011 and EPC Offshore last year. The firm will provide integrated whole-life services from design consultancy to eventual decommissioning of assets. Keith Wallace is Executive Vice President.
Costain Upstream is new in name only. Costain Upstream was formed by the acquisition of Clark Maxwell in 2011. Then EPC Offshore in 2013 by the Costain Group.
And what does this rebranding, this renaming, if you will, say about the company as it stands now?
Costain Upstream is obviously formed by the acquisition of Clark Maxwell and EPC Offshore, and Costain Upstream will build on Costain Group's hard-won heritage of construction and engineering project delivery. The distinctive combination of multidisciplinary engineering and asset support services with project definition and project management expertise creates a unique asset life cycle service with the subsea floating and fixed capability.
And for obviously the work that you did previously, or the firms themselves did previously, does it allow them more security now that they're all part of one entity?
Yeah, I mean, the entity, there's enormous opportunities within Costain Upstream, employment opportunities. We have an ambitious growth plan, and we basically come together to provide integrated whole life services from design consultancy at the start of a project to post-construction, operational and decommissioning services to assets. So there's enormous security and potential for the workforce. I think the service that we're offering is mirroring our clients' organisations, and we have three broad business streams in the select, deliver and improve areas, and this should provide our clients with enormous potential benefit.
The chief executive of a prominent oil engineering firm this week announced he was stepping down. Doug Sedge has been the boss at Sparrows for 4.5 years. Stuart Mitchell, who used to be in charge at McDermott International, will take over next month. Renewable energy measures are being rolled out in 6 northeast sheltered housing complexes thanks to a loan from the Energy Savings Trust. Developments including in Inge, Tomintoul, Braemar, Ballater and Echt will have solar panels and biomass district heating fitted. It's been made possible by £500,000 from the Warm Homes Fund. It's part of a Scotland-wide initiative with 25 projects benefiting across the country. KCA Doitag's been awarded a 5-year deal by BP for the construction and operation of 3 new land rigs in Oman. It's thought the deal will be worth around $220 million for the firm. The firm hopes the technology used will also save on drilling costs for BP. Meanwhile, the boss of BP's this week admitted there are big uncertainties for the company over the question of independence. Bob Dudley says there's still a question mark over which currency will be used in Scotland if we vote yes in September. He said his personal preference was for Great Britain to remain together. He says the oil giant's still continuing to invest in the North Sea. It all came as BP reported a drop in profits for last year. Oil and Gas UK's this week hailed a weather forecasting system which is helping operators better predict conditions. HeliMet was introduced following recommendations from the AAIB after a North Sea helicopter ditching in 2009. The Met Office is now using the system to help them prepare forecasts. Robert Patterson's Oil and Gas UK's Health and Safety Director.
It has been in place and everybody's growing in confidence with its use. It's something that the oil and gas industry introduced in response to some Air Action Investigation Branch recommendations following the helicopter ditching at the beginning of 2009. And it is there to ensure that pilots get very accurate information for pre-flight planning purposes, so they can know with great confidence the weather at the installation where they're going to.
Yeah, and imagine it all around it. There's obviously the safety aspect as well, but it must help the firms themselves being able to get their staff in and out if the operators can plan the route ahead. I mean, nobody likes a cancelled flight.
Absolutely, because you know, because it's an automatic system, there's less chance of any errors being made with visibility or cloud base and wave heights and things like that. So it does give a lot of confidence that you are getting accurate information when you're planning crew changes.
And as you said, this has come off the back of recommendations made by the AAIB. This in itself must be, you know, quite reassuring for the workforce that a system such as this has come about because of the recommendations that are made.
Well, it's a very it's a cross industry, cross the whole of the North Sea network that's been developed in conjunction with the Civil Aviation Authority, in discussion with the helicopter operating companies, and all told. As I said before, it gives a high degree of confidence. And now we've actually had the UK Met Office ask us if they would make the information available to them. So we are doing that, and that will help them improve their weather forecasting for the UK as a whole.
And what involvement do you think the Met Office might have with this for the oil and gas industry?
Well, the Met Office themselves aren't directly involved. They would just take information and use it to compile information for their weather forecasting. But the network that we have is a web-based system, and pilots can access that. It gives them up-to-the-minute data for installations where they're going to, and indeed installations that they may pass on the way. So they will be able to check the weather forecast for a considerable part of their journey to offshore installations.
We're obviously all too aware that Aberdeen, the north of Scotland, the whole North Sea area, if you will, is not exactly the Costa del Sol. What have pilots and the operators been saying to you about the system, and how much it's improving their way of working?
Well, the pilots that we've had feedback from say that it is much better than the old system. They've become used to it. It's already giving them this high degree of confidence that I mentioned earlier on, and so everybody is very pleased. And it is very intuitive on the HeliMet system, which means that they can get all the information that they need.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
The largest annual subsea exhibition in Europe took place in Aberdeen this week. The Subsea Expo was held at the AECC between Wednesday and Friday. It hosted 140 exhibitors and more than 4,000 delegates. Shell's begun production of oil at a platform in the Gulf of Mexico. The energy giant's Mars B development includes subsea wells and export platforms near the Louisiana coast. The firm says it's the first deepwater project in the Gulf to expand an existing oil and gas field with new infrastructure. It's expected to increase the life of the area to 2050 or beyond. An Aberdeenshire firm's developed an environmental solution to a subsea chemical disposal problem. Paradigm Flow Services hopes their umbilical flushing unit will reduce costs for operators. It's now being deployed in some pilot projects on the UK continental shelf. The City Council this week voted to ask the Scottish Government for help following London's example and pay public sector staff more for working in the city. Finance convener Willie Young says the cost of living here is incredibly high.
I think the waiting allowance is what we've seen is in London there is a waiting allowance for employees who work within the city. Now, we are so lucky that we have the oil industry in Aberdeen. And of course what happens with the oil industry is a lot of people are attracted to the oil industry and wages are high. However, a local authority still has to run education. We still need lollipop ladies or men. We still need care workers. We still need people to clean our streets. We still need all people that are doing specific jobs for the council. Now, the big problem we have is that when you're competing against the oil industry, we cannot compete on the same level of wages as the oil industry. Therefore, it makes it very, very difficult for us to run services.
So this isn't about council employees giving themselves a wage rise. This would apply to all local public sector workers, such as teachers, for example?
Well, absolutely. And we've seen that the problems that we've had recruiting teachers in Aberdeen, because teachers who are in other areas of Scotland are finding it very difficult to get a house in Aberdeen because of the cost of living up here. The house prices are extremely high compared to other areas. And, of course, the teachers' wages is the same throughout Scotland. So therefore, Aberdeen, with the cost of living being so high, has a detriment to the city. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to readdress that. Now, the best way we think we can readdress it is for a waiting allowance. Now, we're calling upon the Scottish Government to look at that, just as they've done in London, so that Aberdeen workers do get a waiting allowance, and it will allow us to move forward with some of our employees and compete with the oil industry.
I mean, have you looked at some of the evidence from London? Is there something to suggest that it is a success? It's not simply driving up the cost of everything because everyone's being paid more.
No, we've looked at the success, and what we've done is asking our officers to build up a business case as to why we should get a waiting allowance. Now, it may be that the NHS and other public sector bodies within Aberdeen will want to do the same as well, and we have a uniformed approach to the Scottish Government on this, but I do believe that the only way for Aberdeen to compete is for us to get a London waiting allowance, or a waiting allowance that is equivalent to London. And I think that's the best way forward for the city.
And this is only something that can be considered if you get more money. There's no way of being able to do it within the city's existing budget.
We are the lowest funded council. There is no way that the city can do this itself. And when you think about the money that Aberdeen puts back to the Scottish Government, we're the only city that puts back more money to the Scottish Government than we receive. We're the only city in Scotland that does that. So I think that the Scottish Government should really reflect upon what we're asking and actually join with us to make sure that the city, which is vibrant, which is doing well in the economy, which is putting money back into the economy, which is the driver for the Scottish and UK economy through oil, should be treated exactly like London.
Lastly, do you feel that there is public support for this?
I think that there is public support. I think there's public support very much from the public sector, because they know how difficult it is to live in Aberdeen. I do believe that the private sector would also welcome it, because they are competing for jobs as well, and the private sector is doing very, very well. And what they want to see is a balance. We can't have the public sector away down at the bottom and the private sector away up at the top. What we need to have is equilibrium, and bring that almost together. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that there's fairness within society in Aberdeen.
It's partly because of the big salaries on offer in the oil industry. Even oil bosses are complaining that pay has been driven sky high because of recruitment companies poaching staff. £4 million is being spent on an Aberdeen subsea manufacturing facility. GE Oil and Gas says it's leading to the creation of 20 new jobs this year. The firm recruited 30 new employees at the site in 2013. Bosses say the investment's also expected to contribute to an increase in output. And rounding off the week, an oil field services company has been given the Global Exports Award at the Subsea UK Business Awards. Expro took home the gong at the ceremony at the AECC. The judges say the decision was based on the firm's product line, strategy and ability to adapt to foreign markets. Don't forget, for the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during Greg's Eat Breakfast and the Robin Galloway Breakfast Show. That's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.